Chemistry. It's time to talk sports. The all-new Sports Cage is on the air for the millions of telephone users like yourselves. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan. That's the start of Gino Vannelli, Black Cars Bidzy, as we welcome...
Oh, you don't have to tell me.
Our man.
I don't think you have to tell Francis
right here.
Either.
Right here, remember this part? One of the most underrated drummers ever, whoever he was. Eric Francis is joining us, and we're talking NHL playoffs. Well, 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 Eric. Let's answer this right off the hop. The Vancouver Canucks need to do what to make this a series?
They need to pretend they're the Vegas Golden Knights from last year. They have the blue line core that's kind of similar. Big, huge, monster men and who make it very tough to get in and get chances against the goalie, whoever that will be throughout this series. And obviously that's one of the biggest question marks of the whole series. So yeah, they've just got to play big, play defense first. And you know, for those people who kind of think, well, it's one thing to beat Nashville, it's quite another to beat the Oilers. Yeah, I agree on the surface, but Nashville was actually better than the Oilers in the second half of the season. Everyone thinks the Oilers were the hottest team in the NHL, you know, from the time they made their coaching change. No. The best team in the NHL from Christmas on were the Nashville Predators. Scored more goals than the Oilers, were better defensively than the Oilers, and they beat Nashville. Let's see what they can do against the Oilers.
Eric, don't you think that the way things have worked out is a best-case scenario for the Canucks in this one, though, meaning that we know how big a part of the game the mental side of it. People are counting out the Canucks. They're thinking the Oilers are going to be the next team that's going to win, the next Canadian team to win a Stanley Cup. They're already moving past the Canucks. So do you think this is a good spot for the Canucks that they're not being expected to do much in this series, that they're the underdogs? They're sitting in a real good spot right now going into this?
Yeah, it's probably a pretty good spot for them. And, you know, they did finish ahead of the Oilers this year, and I know that you know, in the second half, it was a much different story. But they should feel confident against the Oilers, didn't they? They won all four games against the Oilers this year, albeit all four games were played early in the season when the Oilers were struggling for the most part. But you know, they have every reason to feel very good about their game. The fact that they beat you know the hottest team in the NHL coming into the playoffs with their third string goalie, and they didn't have you know the goalie didn't have to stand on his head either. Like you know, he just had to be. You know, pretty good. And here they are in the second round. So, no, I think if you're a Canuck or a Canuck fan, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. But I also know that everybody in Northern Alberta, I can't even see the city's name sometimes, but all those people up there, they're excited and very optimistic too. So let's watch. As a nation, we're all going to – I don't know. Well, let me ask you guys this. Is the nation going to watch – or are we just making too much? Is it only Western Canada that's going to watch?
I don't know. If you're a hockey fan, you're watching this.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're making a bigger deal out of it in Western Canada. I think your comment there on Vancouver fans being, I don't know if you said confident, semantics. I think the Vancouver fans that I've talked to, two of them, they aren't sure about this matchup. So the Canucks need, and this is going to be hard, but I can't remember. I think they gave up like 22 power plays or something like that to Nashville. They're going to have a tough time staying out of the box. My theory has always been, since I played hockey, Bidzy, this will make sense knowing where I grew up, is you're going to lose a game in this series. Make it game one. And every knee to the quad or to the hamstring to the quad that you can get a Charlie horse. Anytime you can run a guy through the boards, you take it in game one because you're losing a game anyways. And if Vancouver doesn't lay the smackdown on Edmonton, this is going to be a long series. But you know they got to stay out of the box.
I agree. It's a fine line there, right? Right. They're going to have to. They have to be the more physical team. Listen, everybody knows the Oilers don't have that much size, and they're not. They don't love the physicality. But if you can wear them down, that plays into the hands of the Vancouver Canucks. But again, everybody also knows that there's no more dangerous power play on the planet for the last two, 3 years, if you average it out, than the one that's anchored by Connor McDavid and Evan Bouchard. Like, this guy's an absolute stud while running a power play, too. So they've got a lot of personnel there, including Draisaitl, that'll kill you on the power play. Don't play with fire in that regard, for sure.
Can Pettersson have a little bit of a coming out party in this series?
Well, I would call it a comeback. I mean, you know, he's been kind of non-existent so far in the playoffs. He's taken a ton of heat for it. I think his coming out party was the one that just earned him that massive contract, you know, with some of the great numbers he's put together over the last couple of years. But you talk about a guy who's pulled like a Mitch Marner in the playoffs, and it's only one round. It's not really fair. And he's clearly dealing with something. But, you know, he hasn't been himself. So, yeah, he has a chance to kind of redeem himself after a real questionable first round. And, look, they beat, like I said, a very good Nashville team. Basically, I don't want to say without Pettersson, but he didn't really shine. They let a bunch of the other guys shine. This is now a good chance for Elias Pettersson to shine as well, for sure. Like, he's capable of so much more than he showed in that first round.
I don't think, Bidzy, I don't think your mic's on here, but... we're going to, I understand you got a question. Just fix it. Bidzy's up in Saskatoon. If there is one guy in this series, Eric, that you could, besides McDavid, Draisaitl, for the Oilers, if there, and Hyman, let's say, if there was one of those, you know, other guys that could go either way, like a Kane, a Perry, either as a detriment to the team or something good, who would you think that is?
Oh, yeah, that's a loaded question. I mean, that's Evander Kane, right? He can be a detriment to your team, especially if things start getting really physical or they start losing by a bunch. You can almost guarantee he's good for at least one ejection during a blowout. And the guy can be a massive liability for your team, but he can also be a phenomenal goal scorer and one of the more physical players that they have on their roster and one of the more physical players in the league. So, like, you know, it's the perfect question to answer with Evander Kane. Like, listen, I could go to Ryan Nugent Hopkins. He's always the same steady, you know, 80-point guy that he, you know, he's been forever, 80 to 90-point guy. We know what we're going to get out of him. We know what we're going to get out of Draisaitl, McDavid, Bouchard, Nurse to an extent, but Kane. I suspect that throughout the series, we're going to see good Kane and bad Kane. Nights where he hurts the team and nights where he helps the team. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of you know, the way he conducts himself in general, on and off the ice. But I do appreciate the way he plays if he's on your team. And he's going to be an interesting guy to watch through this whole series.
Yeah, a team usually that goes all the way needs guys like that, of course, as you know, Eric, that fills all different types of roles. A team has to have all those different guys in the grand makeup of it or the grand scheme of things. Okay, I'm back because Eric, you know me well. I'm in Saskatoon here. We're running some new things, and there's a lot of buttons, and I don't know whether it's Tuesday or Moose Jaw here right now. So I'm so bear with me, but I'm back now. Anyway, Sports Cage, of course, is launching a whole bunch of new stuff, so we're real excited about it all. When it all comes together, it's going to be awesome. Okay, so Wednesday here, May 8th, we have the first game, of course, is the Bruins and the Panthers. Let's talk about that series. Obviously, a lopsided one in Game 1 for the Bruins. That surprise you?
Yeah, it did, especially after Tkachuk scored early in the game to put, you know, to put the Panthers up 1-0. I mean, we're all wondering how a team is going to rebound from a tough series, a seven-game series, two nights earlier. And we watched it last night, and I'm sure we'll get into the Colorado-Dallas series in a second here, but You know, everybody's curious to see, do you carry momentum from a seven-game series, or are you so beaten up and tired and the other team's rested that it's to their advantage? It can go either way, and we saw that in these two games that we're talking about. So, you know, Boston, really incredible effort. Look, I feel like the Boston Bruins are playing with house money in a lot of ways. Look, when they lost Bergeron and Krejci, I think a lot of people thought, okay, this team is nowhere near the team that it used to be, and the team that they used to be couldn't seem to get it done over the last 2, 3, 4 years anyway. So, you know, they're going to slowly slide out of their window and eventually start a retool, rebuild, whatever you want to call it, but not at all. Like, this team is every bit as good. Obviously, they'd be better if they had Bergeron, but the leadership of Brad Marchand continues to be a phenomenal story for me. It's an incredible turnaround from where he was 4 or 5 years ago when, you know, as I said last Monday, licking guys' faces. and now you've got a team that, you know, they all look, I was going to say up to him. They look down to him, but up at him sort of thing. He's such a little guy. He's just such an amazing story. And, but do I think the Bruins can win that series? No, I still don't. I still think Florida is, you know, the prohibitive favorite to get to the, you know, get through this round. We'll see what game two brings. That's a big steal, though, in Florida.
You know who the Bruins, and again, it's like you said, it's only one game here. Let's just cool our jets or chikai. But you know who the Bruins remind me of is last year's Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
Flying under the radar, right? And then it's like, oh, no, well, they're still going to lose the series. Yeah, they won a game. Mm-hmm. They got that kind of agitator, really good hockey player.
Scrappy leader, right?
Yeah, they kind of remind me of last year's Florida Panthers, who I didn't believe in until it was like game two of the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, and to flip that kind of analogy, Florida is kind of what Boston was last year. Florida was a juggernaut all year. Comes in, you know, the prohibitive favorite, you know, one of the favorites in the East, and now they're wearing that crown as the team to beat, and Boston is being the hunter. So, yeah, I like that analogy, and it just goes to show, though, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. Just me, what matters is showing up at the right time, getting great goaltending, and scoring timely goals, and Boston sure did that in game one.
I'm deep. We've talked about this a lot on the Dallas Stars this year. My kids in their school hockey pool are big on the Dallas Stars. So last night, my daughter, we're watching the Moose Jaw Saskatoon game. And then on the other screen, we have the Dallas Colorado game. They're up 3-0. Everyone's happy. Everything's good. And then I wake up this morning and tell her that Colorado came back and won. And she's like, well, what do you mean? And I said, Gabby, that is like you guys blowing a 7-0 lead in your 2013 spring hockey. I can't believe that. And I get Colorado's powerful. Don't get me wrong. But a 3-0 lead like that to blow it. Is that coaching, Eric?
No, I mean, you know, I'm covering that series for Sportsnet right now. So I'm writing columns after every game. So last night I'm watching that. I'm listening to all the post game interviews and writing about it. You know, listen, Dallas, you know, figures that they just, that 7-game series started to, you know, their legs, it started to catch up with them midway through the game. I would flip it the other way and say, as Jerry Bednar said, Colorado just took a period to get their legs. And you know, after a week off, and then started to realize, oh my God, we're in the middle of a fight here, and we better start punching back. And it was clinical the way that they did come back in that game with a couple of power play goals early in that second period, an early strike in the third by McKinnon, and it's anybody's game. And listen, you know, the column I wrote last night, like, yeah, Miles Woods, the overtime hero, I'm sure everybody had him in the pool. but you know, Georgiev, or Georgiev, or everyone's got a different pronunciation of it, but you know, everybody looks at Colorado as that's their weak link, right? Like, just like everybody looked at Colorado 2 years ago and said, is Darcy Kemper good enough to really help this team win a Stanley Cup? Kemper was pretty good and then moved on and cashed in and got the money and went to Washington. Now they've invested, put all their eggs in the Georgiev basket, and he's lit up 3-0 in the first. Remember the first game of the playoffs? He let in 7, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, here it is." We knew this was going to be the problem. The rest of that series against Winnipeg, he was unbelievable. The rest of the game last night, he was unbelievable. He didn't have a huge number of shots. He only had 19 saves. But the first 5 in overtime were all on him, and 3 of them were ridiculously dangerous. And he made very calm saves on all of them. Next thing you know, Miles Wood's the hero. So keep an eye on Gorgiev. That's the weak link on that team. And right now, I don't think it's a weak link at all. We just think it is until he proves otherwise.
Going to talk to you again about goaltending, or stay on the topic of goaltending, Eric. You and I were in Calgary covering, of course, the Flames run all the way to the Stanley Cup final way back when against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we knew the man that got him there, of course, was Mika Kiprusoff. Would you say even more so now that the focus, or maybe people are realizing now that once you get into the postseason, and not like they didn't know before, but I think it's just maybe more common now that as these rounds go forward, these goalies start to build momentum. There's a big mental aspect there. They start to get the confidence in between their ears, and the ones that can weather the storm through these rounds, they're just going to it's almost like their superpowers grow. They're almost going to grow in strength and power, and it resonates through their team as they move through. And maybe Gorgiev, can be one of those guys that are at the end that might be, he might be the difference maker when everybody thought after that 7-6 loss in Winnipeg, he was going to be their Achilles heel.
Yeah. It's interesting to watch. And, you know, the guy who's, you know, having a phenomenal playoff already is Shesterkin, of course. And, you know, 6-0, and they're chanting his name all night last night. And, you know, he's a former Vezina Trophy winner. We know he's a proven stud. And he's the kind of guy I don't think anybody questions, has the ability to help carry the Rangers to a cup win if the rest of the team can play that well around him. But, you know, it's interesting to watch guys, you know, I think up until that last game, I think Bobrovsky was having an incredible playoff, just like he did last year. Jeremy Swayman is one of the hottest goalies in the playoffs so far this year. Like, it's interesting to try and pinpoint the guys, but, you know, going back to Dallas, and, you know, a lot of people pick Dallas to win the Cup, you know, because they know that Ottinger has it in him. They saw that series against Calgary a couple of years ago where he was putting on an absolute clinic, and everybody thinks this is one of the best young goalies in the league, and as soon as he, you know, puts it all together, he's going to have a great run. I still think that's very possible for a guy like Ottinger. He's been, you know, kind of building throughout the playoffs. Last night was a bit of a setback, but yeah, the goalie is the key. I will forever say he's the key to playoff success.
You talk about the Dallas Stars and putting all your eggs in that basket, possibly. Well, Barney did for us on our draft with the Keniston Super Draft.
Yeah.
We've talked about that, yes. And so far, he's looking like I still think he's going to come through, and he's going to look smart on that one. Maybe he didn't work out with the Nashville Predators, where a good chunk of our team was as well. But I think with the Stars, it looks good. Okay, Eric, I want to ask you this one quickly before we let you go. We're talking about guys in our minds. When we hear of that player, we think of them in a certain uniform. And when they went to another team, maybe it was just at the end of their career, or maybe it was in between their career just for a year, and then they came back. We brought up Trevor Linden. You just think of a certain player in a certain jersey. When you think of him in another one, it really drives you bonkers. So to get you into what I'm thinking here, like, for example, at the end of his career, here's a couple basketball ones. Of course, Shaquille O'Neal, you think of him with the Orlando Magic at the start of his career. L.A. Lakers, of course. You don't think of him really with the Heat or the Celtics at the end of his career. MJ with the Washington Wizards at the end. No, of course, he's a Chicago Bull. Me, I'm a Saskatoon guy. Loved Wendell Clark growing up, so of course I think of Wendell Clark in a Leafs jersey. I don't think of him with the Islanders or the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Blackhawks, Quebec,
yeah. Although Quebec, he started off, you could start to see that he was going to be something special. But is there somebody that, you know, you just think of him in a certain jersey, and when you think of him in another jersey, even though they did play for that team, it's sour, it just does not work for you?
You know, I that's an interesting question. I'll probably have a better answer for you after I think about it over the weekend when we reconvene on Monday. But one of the first guys that comes to mind is Artemi Panarin, who I think is one, like, I know maybe it's a terrible example because he never did anything when he was, you know, when he was playing with the
old Artemi.
You know, this, what's that?
I said, oh, the old Artemi reference.
No, I know nobody would pick that guy, but now that he's a Ranger and he's flourishing there,
yes.
You know, I still think he's underrated because I still think people don't I just don't think he gets the credit he deserves. What is he, fifth this year in scoring, sixth in scoring? Had almost 50 goals, and no one's ever talking about him. So I think of him, I don't think of him always as a Ranger, but there's my answer. That's probably an oddball one. You know what another one is that came to mind when you were asking that? You didn't prep me on this one, so I'm shooting.
I did throw you.
Okay, hold on. Let me jump in, because Bidzy talked about his. My weird one was Wayne Gretzky in a St. Louis Blues jersey. Then TJ from Davidson had a really good one. Daryl Sittler in a ridiculous-looking Red Wings jersey. That was terrible. And I totally forgot Sittler played with the Wings.
Well, didn't Sittler also played for Philadelphia, too. I think he might have even worn the Cooperall during that little stint there. But, you know, another guy that's kind of interesting in that topic, in that vein, is Nichushkin. You know, now that he's playing in Colorado, and he's got, like, I think a goal every – he's got a point every single game in the playoffs. He's got 8 goals. His last season with the Dallas Stars, you took a chance on this guy, he had no goals in 57 games. Now he comes over to Colorado, and he's one of their best players, and he's, you know, if they are going to do any damage, it's going to be on the back of Nichushkin. So that's another one. But that's not the sort of thing you're looking for right now. I'll have a much better answer on Monday.
You'll come to it. You'll be sitting there, and you're going to go, how did I say that?
How didn't I think of Martin Brodeur in a St. Louis Blues jersey? Yeah, no, okay, Monday. You got Monday to think about it. Have fun covering that series, and we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be weird to see Mitch Marner in a Columbus Blue Jackets jersey. Anyway, that's just a little foreshadowing. Okay,
yeah,
talk to you boys.
There you go. Solid finish. Thanks,
Mitch,
pal.
Mitch Marner in a Lloydminster Border Kings jersey playing for the Allen Cup. How about that? It is the all-new Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.